Hey, I'm Allison, host of Fine Cut, a podcast where a guest brings a scene they have strong feelings about, love, hate, curiosity, from any form of media, and then we discuss the heck out of it for 20 minutes. It's a blast. Join us. Hi, everyone. I'm Allison. Thank you for joining me for Fine Cut. Today, I'm here with my lovely friends, Rhea, the founder of FemMon. And if you don't know who she is, you have never listened to an episode of this podcast before. And Kim, my great friend. And I love to talk to her. And so what happened was how we got to this scene, which is Are You There, Moriarty scene from One Day, is that Kim recommended this show to me one day. And I tried watching it and I didn't want to keep watching it. And then another person recommended the show to me and I did watch it this time. Was it you, Rhea? I don't know if it was.
I remember you mentioning that Kim had been telling you to watch it and you'd watched the first episode and you were like, I'm not really sure.
I don't care about these people. So I came to care very much about these people, and there's so many scenes from the show you could talk about, but the one that I asked them if they wanted to talk to me about is Are You There, Moriarty, at the end of episode 9. Because when I saw it, I thought it was a brilliant scene about a family who frames cruelty as a game. And that is something that I can relate to very strongly. And I've never seen family competition that they think is really quote unquote fun and how horrifying it is from the outsider's perspective. So I'm very impressed. I have not read the book, so I don't know if it's in the book. I assume it's in the book, but I just thought it was brilliant. So Kim and Rhea, what are your thoughts on this scene? Or should I summarize it a bit more? One of you summarize it.
You go, Kim. You go.
Oh, okay. I just want to say first, I had a similar experience to you. It was hard for me at the beginning because I hadn't read the book to get into the show. And then I just kept telling Allison, like, try it. I promise the payoff. I had the flu, so I just had to have something to watch. And then the payoff was definitely there for me, for anybody who's like on the border about watching it. But I'm really not going to summarize well. I'm such a broad strokes person. I can tell you how it made me feel. So I'll take stab at it, but you're going to have to
do a
million details. Okay. So see, I can't even remember the character's name. The
main character.
Dex. Yeah. So Dex is visiting a girl that he's dating, family for the holidays. And he is kind of exposed to their family dynamic. And they are all very, not very welcoming to him. And in general, they're having
sorry, that's an understatement.
So polite that was.
Yeah.
Your summary is not what my summary was going
to
be.
Okay. Well, I want to hear yours. So after dinner, they go on to play this game. And again, it's basically you blindfold yourselves and one person just like whacks somebody on the head with like a wrapping paper roll or some kind of cardboard.
The newspaper, the Sunday Times. It's only the Sunday Times. Right. She says in the scene. Mm-hmm.
And Dex really doesn't want to do this. He ends up getting paired up with the matriarch, her mother, where he needs to hit her. And they're really encouraging.
It's his girlfriend. He gets paired up at the end with his girlfriend. That's the end of the scene, if that's what you're talking about. I just rewatched it so I can step you in. So at the end, he gets the twin brother who just pummels him, which we know is going to happen because the twin brothers have been just so rude to him the entire dinner. The whole family has been rude to him. And then there's a great montage of them just beating the shit out of each other, the family, and him just get increasingly bothered by it and looking over to drink because he's trying on sobriety for a while. And then he's paired with Sylvie, his girlfriend, and he equivocates. I really don't think this is a good idea. Do you really want me to do this? And they keep saying, yeah. Like you need to have a turn where you're there's a better word for it, but the smacker. And he's like, you know, and he's not sure. He says, I'm pretty good at tennis. Maybe I should do this. and they blindfold her, and everyone's like very excited about it. Part of what I loved about the scene was how excited they all are.
The build up, yeah.
About the hitting.
Chomping at the bit.
Like every time somebody lands a hit, they cheer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, yeah. And so he gets his arm ready, and he does not say, "Are you there, Moriarty?" Because in the game, essentially, the game is that you say, "Are you there, Moriarty?" And they say, "Yes." And then you smack them. And he does not say, "Are you there, Moriarty?" And he just like nails her face, and she gets a bloody nose. And everyone is horrified because he has crossed the invisible line. And that's what I also loved about this scene is like, there's a line that's completely undetectable until you have crossed it.
And well, and that's,
in the experiences I've had, like,
he doesn't
that
know any of
the
rules
case.
About where that line is, right? Because it's not his family dynamic.
And right. It's because he's not the same class as them. So there's so much going on here. So when we first meet Dex, so Dex and Emma are like the main couple as such. Mm-hmm. Emma's working class, Dex is posh. So Dex is mm-hmm. upper middle class. He's well off. He gets to travel, gets to go to university, and then do whatever he wants. He has no idea what he wants. Emma doesn't have that privilege. She has to just work. She wants to be creative. She can't. She's got to go. I think she works in like a chip shop or something.
She works at that Mexican restaurant.
Oh, Mexican restaurant. So that's it. It's so funny. So we as the viewer are like, Dex is in this incredibly privileged position. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's got his fancy car. And when they rock up to Sylvie, his girlfriend's house, you suddenly start to feel this power imbalance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I listen to stuff where I watch stuff with the subtitles on as well. So this subtitle person for this episode was absolutely fabulous, because constantly throughout they put tense music playing. And I was like, yes, there is. Yes, there is. Because this episode as well is just so good at building that tension about mm-hmm. what it's like to be an outsider. And they immediately punish somebody from the moment they meet him for not being, as they consider, mm-hmm. good enough, as good as them, because they are so privileged. So that when mm-hmm. he crosses that line, which he did not know that was there, and imagine if one of the twins did it to each other, would they be laughing or would they be as angry as they are with him? I imagine it would be the former, they would be laughing. But because he's not one of them. So what he's done is, you know, the way they speak to him afterwards, as if he has abused her, as if he has purposefully mm-hmm. gone out to hit her. And he kept on saying, "I don't want to do this," the entire time mm-hmm. he's uncomfortable. And they put him here, and they all immediately turn on him, which they've been looking for an excuse to do. But because of their privilege, if they'd done it to each other, it would be a completely different outcome. And I find that so interesting, that in this 23-minute episode, they're telling us so much about class and privilege, specifically in the UK mm-hmm. as well, mm-hmm. through what is a hideous posh person game. Like, so I know about the game.
So I wanted to know, is that like a real, because I've of course never
It's a real game.
This.
I've never like... played it. I'm not posh. So it's a posh person game. So it's like a whole bunch of games like that that posh people play. Mm-hmm. And it is basically just a chance to beat the shit out of each other or be horrendous to mm-hmm. each other. And it is a privilege of posh people, because if working class people did it, they'd be like, look at those scumbags playing this game, making an excuse mm-hmm. to hit each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and there's something, you know, they're saying so much by saying it's the Sunday Times. The Times is a posh paper. Mm-hmm. It is for rich people. It is thick. It is sturdy, especially when, you know, when this mm-hmm. is set. So, you know, it's mm-hmm. it is a very thick paper.
At times
they're rolling it up. So it's, you know, it is a hard weapon that they're using. And it's they call it a truncheon. Yeah,
yeah. I had a hard time picturing it like actually breaking her nose. It makes sense, your context that you're giving, that it really could have done that now.
Well, and I think for me, the other thing that I love about the line that he has crossed, and I agree with everything you're saying, Rhea, is that I think the other thing that he has done that is to them the worst thing that he's done is that he's showed emotion. He showed that it bothered him. The game, and mm-hmm. he's angry, and his feelings are hurt, and he's in his feelings, which is the ultimate line.
And he's supposed to play
with posh people. Can't feel things. So he does. And for me, that was the thing that really, like, because I knew something bad was going to happen. Obviously, the way the scene is put together, you know, oh, this is not going to end well for Dex. But I didn't know how. I didn't actually see it coming that he was going to not say, are you there, Moriarty? Because that was the thing. Like, he was so in his feelings, he didn't follow the rules. And I just, as a person who has often been in my feelings in situations like these, I really identified with him, and I didn't identify with Dex very much. And I also loved what you were saying, Rhea, about, like, we think he's the rich guy in this story because he is very much positioned as the rich guy compared to Emma. And then when they pull up to this place, I started laughing immediately because he's out of his depth and he's trying to impress them, which is the last thing you should ever try to do with people like this.
Well, so all the class stuff really worked for me that. Too. Remember she said, don't try to impress.
Yes.
Like, she gave him not enough coaching. It kind of reminds me of like she gave him a little bit of coaching, but it's also like a metaphor. I feel like the cruelty and this kind of whacking him in a direction, I just think their relationship was so much her trying to, like, subtly, cruelly make him into something that he wasn't. She's always kind of telling him he's not good enough. And I just think, I don't know, it was a metaphor for their whole relationship to me.
I thought it was, and, like, what a red flag is this scene? Like, how enormous of a red flag is this?
And she acts like she's the one that's hurt when really she's harmed him. Right?
Yeah, they don't talk about it. Not honestly. After the fact. Which I think is a pattern for their relationship as well. Right? They talk around things. He tries to please. I don't think it's a coincidence that he finally tells her he loves her after this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's,
well,
so I just, I thought
he
was brilliant.
Looking for the acceptance then finally, like that he realized, like, he wanted to play the game then and be accepted into this class.
But I don't, because I find it shocking that he is then goes, I love you. And she's all laughter and giggles and everything. Because if somebody did what her family did to somebody I love, I would not choose to be part of that family. And if my partner was thinking that this, you know, I'm saying to my partner, so he's constantly uncomfortable. She's not getting any of those cues. And if she is, she's ignoring them. She doesn't care because this is my family, my rules. We've got more power than you. We outnumber you. This is our game. Come on, just get on board with it, which I hate. If somebody says I don't want to do
and
something,
the
they don't want to do something.
She, like, was like sexy about it when she put the blindfold on, you know, like, come play with me. It was
in
so...
front of her parents and brothers.
Yes.
So
it
weird.
Was so interesting.
I felt like you, Rhea, when I watched it, where I was just like, I was starting to relate to him less because I couldn't imagine allowing people to make me feel that bad and me keep staying there and signing up for it. Like, I just, what had been quiet cruelty from her before was so out loud when she was around her family, when she was kind of like encouraged on by them to be cruel to him, that I thought it was going to be a turning point in the other direction for him. And that's when I really was like, I don't know. I had a hard time getting that, relating
to him. Just because he's so unsteady in his life, isn't he?
Yes,
so his life, you know, the death of his mother, the fact he's not close to his father, and they can't seem to talk about anything, you know, and his drink and drug use, and he's trying to be steady. And he's like, well, this rich, posh family, I can be a part of them. So why don't I just be dead inside or drink my way through it, as you know, and then I will have a family, because he's so lost. And these are the worst people to join when you're feeling lost, because they're not going to help you.
How it operated too was like, he thinks so little of himself.
Yeah.
Yes. Truly.
That's what was hard to watch. Yeah. Mm.
And so do they.
Right. It's aligned.
And they have that in common.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
that's great. That's how I read it. And I can relate to that. I've been in that place in my life, you know, where it was like, oh, we all think I suck. Let's hang out more. You know,
I just want to fit in, please. Yeah.
You know, but it was like, I mean, Dex really thinks little of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so does Sylvie. And I think he's a bit on board with being remade in the image she imagines.
Yeah.
He's not in a space where he's intellectually curious enough to think, well, if I get remade, where am I?
Yeah.
He's just like, oh, are you going to erase this thing that I am? Great, because I'm not really a fan, you know? And that self-loathing, and then the rage that comes out when you are
like
so full of that. I related. I mean, that all felt so real to me. Of that, like, no, I don't want to. And then, I mean, okay, I will. And I'm now going to break your nose.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, if you're going to fucking, I'm going to fucking do it. If this is what you're going to do, you want to play this game. And that's what he does. Like, I've been in that rage. You want to play this fucking game?
Oh, yeah.
Then yeah. Here we go. I wouldn't suggest.
I'm actually quite good at tennis.
I wouldn't.
And they all go
belting,
sure,
somebody around the face with the news. But yeah, that's the other thing, especially because we've seen the twins playing tennis.
Yes.
Beforehand.
Yes. Like, oh yeah, you're good at tennis. Come on, Dex. You're not good at anything. And he's like, well, actually, you know, so let me show you my forehand. It's impressive. I thought it was such an incredible scene about cruelty and about how people with privilege weaponize it and make it your fault. And that privilege can be any kind of privilege. I loved it.
And how they all stuck together in it. Like,
yes.
They're being cruel to one another, but
yes.
Still they're all in on the let's be more cruel to this outsider. And I think that's one thing, you know, not being from a social class like that and not understanding the systems. Allison and I have talked about this a lot. Like, when I lived in LA, you know, I didn't understand how money worked there, that people who didn't necessarily look like they had money, and that they came from money and wealth.
And lots of it.
Yeah, it's very different than the East Coast where I grew up, where it's much more obvious who has money and who doesn't. And again, I felt a lot like Dex, and I didn't understand the rules for engagement, and I can relate to that. But it was just really interesting to me how it was okay for them to be really cruel to each other, and that does seem like that's one of the rules, but then they're still all in cahoots together to really take Dex down.
And I think oftentimes that's how you show membership, right? Is that you hurt somebody else. You make sure somebody is beneath you. I mean, we have lots of conversations about this with racism, right? Like, that's how people prove they're white, is they oppress other groups of people. And that's how they show they're a family. They have their neck, their heel on Dex's neck. You know, yeah. It's like, we're all in this together. We're so close and happy. And I think also what can happen in families, and certainly what happened to me in my family, is you become that person. You become the person who everyone is against, you know? And so you start asking questions in a family that doesn't like to have questions asked, and you become the enemy. And so I think that's also why the scene really spoke to me, is that feeling of, because Dex is the only one who's like, this is a pretty fucked up game, am I right?
And they're like, it's great.
You know, he's not saying it, but it's clear by the way he's reacting to it and sitting and not cheering every time somebody gets hit. And so they want to make even a further point of showing him how this ecosystem works. He's questioning how it works, and so they want to make sure he fucking knows how it works. And I have felt that a lot in my life.
I really agree with everything you're saying, and it's making me question, like, because Sylvie knows how her family operates, and she does give him like a micro training. It's not nearly enough, but like, what do you think her character is experiencing during that experience? And like, is she committed to it, but questioning it, like, why, how does she bring him into the fold, and how can he succeed for her in that moment, right? Like, what do you think her character's experiencing then?
For me, it's so interesting when she, they're in bed afterwards, and she says, my family's grotesque. I think that's what she says. And, but she says it in the most casual way. Like, I think they're horrible. Like, she's like, I think they're horrible. Especially the boys, especially the twins. And she says it a couple of times. Yet she's so complicit in it all.
Right.
And it's...
Well, and also... Go ahead, Rhea.
No, sorry, you carry on.
Well, I am just saying, in addition to that, he asks her, like, do you care about your family's approval?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they, that conversation comes up at least twice where she says, no, not at all. Well, a little.
So she... You know, I separating herself maybe, but not full, she's not really ready to take the leap to separate herself from them yet, is what you're thinking.
And well, because I kind of feel, jumping ahead in the show, I find Sylvie's character so interesting.
She had a lot of development. I mean, her character really develops over time.
And she's not still not like perfect at the end of the show, and she's worked through a lot. You know, she's had, if you listen to this and you've not watched it, I'm about to do a spoiler. so she has an affair, and she latches onto somebody who is supposed to be better than Dex, is, you know, who'd fit in with her family more. And she does not really get any independence until towards the end, when she's going on her own way and is strangely touched by Emma's character. And I still think that's done as a somebody who is a side character, done so interestingly from, I didn't have a chance to, but I wanted to watch this episode and then see her in the, and then watch the penultimate episode, because she's got quite a key bit in that penultimate episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And but I didn't have a chance to compare and contrast, because I feel like in this episode, she knows her family is horrible. And she kind of sees herself a bit different, but she knows her
for her character.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
And she just knows her family is terrible, but doesn't do anything about it. She's not
active in trying to force enough yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I felt like
she's also needling them with Dex.
Yes,
I think she's needling them with Dex.
Yeah.
He's a bad boy. She knows the cost of being completely outside, but she can kind of exist in this sort of... And I think that's why her answer is so vague, because she does care. But, and also, nobody says it out loud until later in the show, but obviously her family is footing the bill for her lifestyle.
Yeah.
Right? So she is not going to completely turn her back on her family.
Right.
And I think that when there's wealth involved, it's rare that people estrange from their families, because with it goes their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you hit another newspaper on the head or on the nose with that point.
You got Moriarty.
Yeah. In that she really has weaponized Dex against her family.
Yes.
But he doesn't know that. Like, he doesn't know that he is the weapon. And I think the realization there is the discomfort. I was thinking a lot about, I didn't want to talk about the broader thing yet, but I did, what I was sitting with when I was listening to you, I'll talk a lot about, you know, Emma pushed Dex and she didn't withhold judgment from him. And he bristled at it. He didn't love it, but it didn't seem to absolutely humiliate him the way that Sylvie's treatment of him did, and like really break him down. And I was thinking a lot about the difference of that. And I think it's probably because Emma was doing it from a place of truly being invested in him and seeing something in him, versus where Sylvie was really using him against, you know, the constructs that she was having to deal with. I don't know what you all think about that, but.
Yeah, yeah, completely agree. And it sort of feeds into something I was thinking about as well, when funny from you about talking, which is how she can switch. So she has the absolute privilege of being with her family and fitting in with them. But when she's in Dex's world, because she's safe, she's always going to be safe. She's always got a safety net. She can switch to being the cool girl in Dex's world.
Mm.
And the absolute privilege of being able to do that. I've not explored it because I literally just thought about it when you were both talking. But that's another thing that's so interesting about her character, that she can be a chameleon. She can code switch as easily, you know, so easily.
Yeah, and he had never really, I mean, he had seen some of her things, but he had no idea that that version of her was going to come out that weekend, I don't think.
Either. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? You like somebody enough to go and meet their parents, meet their whole family, and you get there, and the whole family are assholes, and then they insist that you all start hitting each other. Yeah, Addison is like, I can imagine.
I've been to
family things of partners and boyfriends where I've not been comfortable, and like often in my 20s I haven't been comfortable enough to say something. You just sort of go along with it and you're like, what is this insane shit? I'm really uncomfortable, it's awful, I'm just going along with it, yeah, great, blah blah blah. Like if I did it now I would be like the exact opposite, but like I just the thought of going to somebody I feel like I like enough to me and her family, and then they start hitting me with a rolled up newspaper.
I had a weekend like that with somebody I was dating and living with, and I left early. I had to get a flight home early. It was very dramatic. And then we had to still like unlive together. But the family was so cruel to me, and I had never had that experience because I was always like the person that parents liked. Mm-hmm. And their main thing, their family had been from Alaska, but they lived in Washington State. And the fact that I was from the East Coast, even though disgusting. I had grown up on a farm, they thought, so it wasn't about class. It was that I wasn't like tough enough.
Yeah.
It was very, their whole thing was like, she's like not tough. And I was like, interesting that that's one, your impression of me, and two, that you're going to just be so cruel because you think that.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't want to say too much about it, but I have an ex who that him and his family were not of English descent, and they did not approve of me. And every time I went round, they would not speak in English purposefully to keep me out of conversations, and his cousins specifically would all sit and talk and laugh in my direction, knowing I couldn't understand anything that they were saying, and that was hell. If they hit me with a newspaper, to be honest, I don't think I would have handled it as well as Dex did, and he didn't handle it well at all.
Well, it is the last thing, I guess, and Allison, I think you have something I wanted to say, but it's making me think about motherhood and family systems a lot. And is it that these unhealthy family systems do have a really hard time of welcoming people in because of the level of dysfunction? Like, you know, I'm already thinking for our own kids, like when they have partners, like how do we be more welcoming? But hopefully we're not, I mean, we don't play that evil game to begin with.
I mean, I'm going to get my copy of The Guardian and lay it down flat and say, tell me what you agree with in this newspaper. And if they agree with most, I'll be like, you're fine. You're allowed. You can be part of our family.
But there is a hazing to a lot of families, right? I think that's what it is. And
absolutely.
Yeah. So
that's what I thought was so brilliant about it. And I relate to that so much because there was certainly a lot of in our family. Oh, yeah. I mean, to each other, obviously.
Your current family would ever like haze a newcomer? Or would it be in a different way?
No, I mean, I am like determined to be the person who's like, you almost want to keep dating their child because you like their mom so much.
Yes.
That's like my goal in life, you know, is to be that person. And then they still break up because they're not good for each other. But it's like, it's got nothing to do with me. But that's like, you know, that's my parenting thing in general. I never want to get in kids' way. And yeah. And to the point that like, I was more bland when my children were small because I didn't want to be the mom that people were like, whoa, we don't want our kids playing with her. You know, so I had to actually readjust and like remember who I was and that, it's okay if everyone doesn't like
find your center. Yeah.
It's okay.
Good, because you worried me a bit then. I'm like, should I be dialing myself?
Yeah,
down?
No, I was.
I'm not sure I'm capable of that.
It was a particular concern I had because I was told as a young child that people couldn't play with me because of my family. So it was like, it's a very specific concern I have because I was literally told that by more than one or two or three or more children. when I was in school. So it was something that I was like determined to not repeat. So I probably went a little hard the other direction. But yeah, if you have any last thoughts, but I thought this scene was, I also was so impressed that this scene was in a show that is ostensibly about love. You know, like this is a love story one day, and this episode was about a form of love, or, I mean, he says, I love you. And I thought how complicated it is. And I totally agree with what you said, Kim. I think Emma loves Dex.
Yeah.
And I think her criticism is rooted in that. And I have to say, for me, it helped me love Dex, that he was open to that from the beginning with her, that he didn't just say like, you're a bit critical, you know? And so I see that with Sylvie, to him, maybe they were mirrors of the same thing. He thought she was critical, like Emma was critical, you know, like he's not the most woke guy in the world. So he's figuring it out as he goes. He's also, you know, an alcoholic. So his judgment is impaired a lot of the time. And we can't discount how often.
His mom was a kind of a combination potentially of Sylvie and Emma. And for him to navigate between the two, what is really better for me? But I think, again, newspaper on bloody nose, I think it's so important that we talk, that love, the person who loves us, how in, it doesn't mean, I think Sylvie did love him, but how their love makes us feel about ourselves is the most important thing. And even though on the surface, maybe Emma and Sylvie's treatment of him looks similar, it really is from a different place and makes him feel totally different about himself. And I think that's what I really took away from that scene. I was just like, oh my goodness, like she's really just broken him.
Yeah. I mean, I would also say when I was watching this scene, I wish every family that was this dysfunctional would play Are You There, Moriarty?
So people
because
know.
Most of the families I know don't do anything that obvious. So I was like, this is nice. It's right in front of your face, Dex. Oh, still not going to pick up on it. Okay. So what are your last thoughts, Rhea?
I don't think I have any because they'll go on too long, because I feel like we could carry on talking about this for ages. But Are You There, Moriarty? It's a stupid game for posh people. Don't hit people with newspapers. Don't hang out with posh people. Don't know if that's the advice I want to give.
Right?
Some are fine, I'm sure.
No hazing. No, be welcoming.
I wouldn't feel comfortable in a house that had paintings of someone's great grandmother or whatever that was. Like, I would just be ill at ease with the whole propping up of capitalism and the patriot. Like, all of that would just make me so uncomfortable. And I wanted Emma to show up and call them all fascists.
I know. That's like what goes through in my head. And like, what's so good is houses like that exist. Go on to Rightmove and like look at the poshest houses, the most expensive houses that are in the millions, and they have that furniture that you would never want to sit on. They have statues. Mm-hmm. They have Darcy's house from Pride and Prejudice. Got to get Pride and Prejudice in. You know, where you're like, nobody's comfortable in this house. They exist, and people aspire to that here. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's...
Oh, everywhere. Obviously, they aspire to it here as well.
True.
Uncomfortable modern furniture. That's what's amazing. We've updated and there's uncomfortable new furniture you can sit on. Thanks.
Well, and the houses look like dentist office. I'm like, that doesn't look like a home. That looks like what you go to have breast implants. Like, what are you talking about?
That's so true.
Yeah.
Oh God. Okay. So. Well, thank you for joining me, Rhea and Kim. I really wanted to have this conversation with someone, and there couldn't have been two better someones than you.
Next time, so, I just won't summarize.
Thank you.
Okay. we learned our lesson.
Well, thank you to everyone who listened. I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as we did. We know you have lots of choices of things to listen to. Thank you for listening with us. Please like and share and review and do all the things, and come back next month. Thank you.